The word of God by the people of God is, in my mind, one of the important aspects of worship. So to have an opportunity to have liturgists on a regularly scheduled basis is a true delight for me to see happen in our life of worship. So if you're interested and you want to sign up, you can go to that sign up genius. Or if you're wanting to avoid technology, just call the church office. They'll be glad to sign you up. We'll share with you the lessons and the preparation you need. And you too can be just like a great lawyer. A great lawyer. Let's pray together. Holy God, come into our midst. And in the work of your Holy Spirit, stir our hearts to life and faith. Surround us in the ministry of Jesus, that with our eyes and our hearts and our lives, we might faithfully share the witness that Christ is the bread of heaven, the life that we live, and the joy we share. And it's in Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Now, likely it was my grandmother's generation that was the first to experience this significant transition. Because for my grandmother, there was such a day as baking day, and then there was laundry day, and at least in my grandmother's house, there was pie day, so that everybody could have pie through the week. But in a strange advertising tease, around Indianapolis, Indiana, in May of 1921, there was a tease that said, "Wonder is coming." And sure enough, on May the 21st, 1921, the arrival of a loaf of bread, something you didn't create at home, something you didn't spend all day baking, something now that was easy and in fact on the label said was slow baked. Wonder bread arrived in kitchens around America. An opportunity that, at least for my grandmother's generation, had to be an immense amount. It saved her an entire day. I know my grandmother would have to look and wonder at how we spend our time, how we're not needing to take care of every life's detail, that it is so readily available. In fact, you and I can now sign up and we can have our meals delivered in a box outside our door, pre-packaged, pre-described, no challenge. I would imagine that would tick my grandmother off. So I'm glad she never saw that day. But I know for her, life was about merely survival. Every day was a key component of how you would meet the next day's need. And yet you and I are given such an opportunity here in this time and place that we can experience not the wonder of a loaf of bread. And in fact, Wonder Bread was one of the newest that began to slice the bread before you even needed to slice it at home. What a turn of events it was a few years ago when I wandered in the new setup in the deli showed all those artisan bread loaves, and it was a return to my grandmother's day. You and I are left to wonder at many things. But we're called to ask ourselves today, why are you gathered in worship? Did you come to experience the wonder and the splendor of God? Did you come to find that in these moments we can set aside the leisure of our days to take a few moments to simply reflect? Or are we here to experience survival, the daily need, and to experience at our very depth what it means for Christ to have been sent by the Father. If you've been studying the Gospels for years, you'll recognize that the first three Gospels are very similar in the stories they tell of Jesus. John's Gospel sets a different stage. It makes some very bold claims at the lips of Jesus. In the 14th chapter, Jesus would say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." In chapter 4, when he encounters a Samaritan woman at the well, and he's asking her for a drink of water, he says, "I am living water." In chapter 6, the passage Hanlon read for you today, "I am the bread which comes down from heaven." In chapters 8 and 9, John's Gospel would have Jesus proclaim, "I am the light of the world." In John 15, Jesus says, "I'm the vine." In chapter 10, he says, "I'm the good shepherd." And again in 10, he says, "I am the gate, the door." But maybe most significantly, at least for me, it's the word that Jesus would say in the 11th chapter, "I am the resurrection and I'm the life." These bold claims of Jesus aren't just mere speculation and wonder. The wonder loaf appearance was then quickly tracked by the launch of a wonder helium balloon that would again advertise the scope and the capacity of this newfangled invention. For us, I'm wondering, why did you come to church today? Why did you set aside these moments to draw close to God and have God draw close to you? There begin to be times in our very lives that, much like the crowd, we look around and notice Jesus isn't where we left him. In just the previous verses, this crowd of over 5,000 men were all fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when Jesus and his disciples depart, they look around and recognize that he's gone, and they go after him. Here, Jesus in this scripture just specifically says, "Why have you come after me? You've come because you ate your fill." Imagining we be like that crowd, we would somehow find within these moments that God would look at us and ask, "Why did you come after me? Simply for the miracle? Simply for the satisfying gift that I bring to you? Simply for the fill of your stomach?" Jesus calls to them and says, "Your faith has to be more than that. You and I, we can experience this walk of faith." Maybe at times when we hear people doubt, these bold assertions by John's Gospel are hard to believe. They're hard to wrap your brain around. Theologians and scholars for centuries have written and tested and questioned these very promises of being living water, vine, and bread from heaven. We are like perhaps the crowd who, when we've experienced the miracle of God, we come after him once again to simply say, What else are you going to do for me? What's next? Those who followed after him were filled with the miracle of watching 5,000 people get fed. I'm sorry. I think maybe you and I, if we experienced such a moment, we'd be better than the crowd, right? We wouldn't be going after him saying, what work are you going to perform? What sign are you going to do? Jesus, when they ask him the question, what must we do to perform the works of God? Listen to what he says. That you believe in him whom God has sent. You know, every now and then you and I are perplexed by a society and a world and maybe even ourselves when doubt creeps in. When we question the very existence and basis of God. When we would wonder and doubt at these bold assertions, Jesus isn't rattled by the people. He recognizes our primary work as believers is to believe. It's that moment where doubt meets faith. It's not a matter of fact. It's not a matter of information. It's a matter of God intersecting into that very moment with the power of his presence that God has sent Jesus for us. It would seem as if when they ask the question, what work will you do? They wanted another sign or miracle. Are we possibly that same kind of fickle crowd that would want to see Jesus show up again, God's miracle unfold? Or maybe we too quickly forget what miracle happened yesterday and we no longer wonder. For you and me, it may now be too easy to be a society that wonders how food shows up and how food is made. One little boy, when his mother asked him, where do tomatoes come from? He thought for a moment, carefully reflected, they come out of a can. It would seem strange for us not to have a garden, wouldn't it? And yet there are many individuals in our society that don't even have the simple privilege of a pot on the patio that you'd discover where tomatoes really come from. Another little boy was greatly disturbed when he arrived at the grocery store with his mother, and when the tomatoes she picked up were on the vine, he said, Mommy, why did they leave the extra? Well, she said, it helps preserve them. It keeps them longer. Maybe you and I just see Jesus as something extra instead of that vine that attaches us to life and experience of the power of God's gift to us. When we doubt or question or wonder, are we disturbed? Because Jesus never is. When the crowd said, give us this bread always, Jesus' answer is still the same. I am the bread of life. All of us have that gift of eternal life that's given because of Christ Jesus' wonderful, loving, and patient response. When we doubt, when we question, when we wonder, know that he is always ready and patient to give. Amen.